What's good, everybody? It's your boy D-Nice with West Coast Aftershock. Starting a new series here, editorials. Today we are talking about the myth of the Eargasm album that was supposed to drop in Death Row Records in the mid-90s by the incomparable The Lady of Rage. Urge everyone to check out the site, www.westcoastaftershock.com. This is going to be a new series I'm going to be doing. Also going to be doing some reviews of some personal classic West Coast albums that I've liked over the years. And just kind of give my two cents and thoughts on, some classic moments or, in this case, what ifs, albums that did not drop. That may have been highly anticipated, maybe a lot of people didn't know about. You know, I've got to get out first and foremost, Lady of Rage is my favorite female MC of all time. She's probably in my top 10 to top 15 MCs of all time. Robin Allen or Lady of Rage, rapper and actress best known for collaborations with several Death Row Records artists, including Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg, on the seminal albums The Chronic and Doggy Style. I always say when it comes to posse records and posse cuts, a lot of people feel that that's kind of a thing that started on the East Coast, perfected on the East Coast. I always reference Death Row posse cuts if you want, just that G-funk over, but just have just extreme lyricists. Like back in the day, you had Corrupt, you had Snoop, you had Rage, you had, Trade E, Technique. I always say the Dog Pound for me was my West Coast version of the Wu-Tang Clan. How people would talk about who their favorite MCs, whether it's Raekwon or Inspector Deck or Method Man, Ghostface. There's really not a wrong answer as far as MCs. In a crew like that. Same thing with DPGC. And Lady of Rage was definitely my favorite out of the group. Corrupt a very, very close second. But, she has scene-stealing performances on Stranded on Death Row, one of my favorite verses, along with Corrupt and Snoop and even RBX. I mean, all of them. Just completely, just wreck shop on the... on that song. You had the Above the Rim soundtrack where Afropuffs was one of the, biggest records back in, 93, 94 when that came out. Also had the intro on the on Doggy Style, wrapped the entire intro of that song. So she's had, plenty scene-stealing performances, but like a lot of projects with Death Row, and this is why I will do a lot more What If editorials kind of in this format. And a lot of them are going to be from Death Row Records, because I feel like Death Row Records made, 300 million records, excuse me. I feel like they could have easily sold 500 or 600, basically doubled that, if a lot of these projects were to come out around the time frame that they were due to drop. But Rage has been described as one of the most skillful female MCs with a mastery of flow and hardcore lyrics. I'm getting this also from genius.com. Lady of Rage describes her rapping technique in the book How to Rap. She notes the importance of having strong vocabulary, writing poetry, having different styles of flow, using rest, researching lyrics, taking your time to write lyrics, working with producers, and doing guide vocals. Now, as far as, like I said, she had the G-Funk intro, Lyrical Gangbang also on The Chronic, For All My Niggas and Bitches off of Doggy Style, Puffin' on Blunts and Drinking Tanqueray, one of the most iconic West Coast freestyles back in the day, the Doctor's Office skit, Batman and Robin from Pays the Cost to Be the Boss album by Snoop. That was a really dope record, and flipped the classic Batman theme. A great, great beat by DJ Premier. Afro Puffs, that was on the Above the Rim soundtrack. Set It Off, that was on The Last Meal album by Snoop. Also had MC Ren, Ice Cube, and Corrupt on that song as well, produced by Timbaland. You know, and then really going then from 1994 with all of this success with Afropuffs, that was really kind of prime time for Rach to drop an album. And there was always this rumor about this album, Eargasm, that she had, that was supposed to be executive produced by Dr. Dre. He was about to do the majority of the production. There was rumor Afropuffs was going to be one of the tracks on the project. Midnight Hour featuring Corrupt. You can actually find this song. It's not in the greatest quality. It's produced by Dr. Dre. That was supposed to be on Eargasm. Puffin' on Blunts and Drinking Tanqueray rumored also, even though it was a freestyle, that it was going to be on her project as well. But smack dab 94, you're getting into now 1995. Dog Pound really is, had their song Niggas Don't Give a Fuck on the Poetic Justice soundtrack that did well, which, quick side story, Snoop has said in a few interviews, that was originally a Snoop Dogg track, so it was completely, the majority of it was written by Snoop. I had the pleasure of interviewing Corrupt twice, and Corrupt confirmed this, but he said the last verses him and Daz wrote. So, in knowing all of that and having that, information regarding that track, and the Dog Pound being able to rap on that, Dog Pound actually was not a group on the Chronic. It was Daz and Corrupt. After that, then they became the Dog Pound, infamously as well. See Dolores Tucker talking about she wanted to have gangster rap banned from music stores. One of the main albums, you see even people at the Capitol building stomping on, as was Death Row CDs, Doggy Style and Dog Food. That propelled really in 1995 a lot of the sales from Dog Food, but also, of course, in infamy, the New York, New York track as well. So long story short, how that ties in with Rage, and Rage, like I said, again, was also on the album Dog Food. It kind of pushed her buzz, you know, to the back burner. Because really, ideally, it would have been 1994, right around the time Above the Rim came out, that Rage should have had a solo album out. Fast forward, you know, she had a song, Big Bad Lady, ended up being on Necessary Roughness in 1997, getting a little bit ahead of myself, but Tupac gets out of jail, bailed out by Suge, signs to Death Row. That further pushes even that back even further now for Lady of Rage to drop her project. Now, again, there was Big Bad Lady. I've heard rumors it was supposed to be on Eargasm, but timelines really don't fit with that. By then, Dre had left and was starting up Aftermath. But 1997 album did drop, mainly produced by Daz. DJ Premier did some tracks as well. One of my favorite songs from Rage, Microphone Poncock, was got a quotable in Source Magazine. You know, Rage always, I've never heard Rage spit a whack verse in my life. Just one of the most gifted MCs out there. Album dropped. Show Enough was a good single. I actually think that single would fit on Eargasm and kind of the tracks that she had done in the past. But you know, really by then it was almost kind of having to recreate Rage's buzz, and the album just kind of came and went, which was unfortunate. Again, named all of those albums that she worked with, and she had a VA to Cali mixtape that she dropped. But other than that, a couple Inmate tracks over the years. She was on 100 Ways album by the Dog Pound, Welcome to the Church compilation. Just a few tracks here and there. And then she was signed to DJ Premier's label. Had a verse on MC8's Which Way Is West album. But again, just a couple tracks here and there. Just my thoughts on it. Again, sucks that the album didn't drop. I think as far as the impact, if you drop it in 1994, right when Afropuss is at its height, I think without a doubt, in looking at Death Row's musical track record and album sales and everything, Dog Pound sold almost 3 million. You know, Doggy Style was one of the, you know, Snoop Dogg is the number one artist on planet Earth, you know, with Doggy Style, one of the top five biggest premiere albums to ever drop. You know, it sold, you know, six or 700,000 copies first week. You know, the buzz on Snoop was real. Snoop was already onto his second album, Dogfather, by 1996. And Rage really wasn't able to drop. I think if she would have dropped, the sweet spot or a sweet year would have been 1994, when you could have really capitalized off the buzz of Afropuss. That was a huge, huge record on the West Coast. And I think that would have really, you know, propelled her into being more of a household name as far as female MCs and just lyricists in general. I think it would have made her a household name. For people that really are diehard hip-hop heads, especially West Coast, you know, this probably sounds repetitive, and you already know this, saying that she's a top-tier lyricist, but for a lot of people, really didn't get to see that commercial success from her, minus a couple singles, and a lot of people know her as Baby D, of course, on Next Friday. More for, you know, her acting as opposed to rapping, because again, she's only really been on a few singles here and there and still hasn't really dropped an EP or a mixtape in over 10 years at this point. So, again, I want to do a few more kind of editorials, what ifs. I think I might do one with the Dog Pound, the second Dog Pound album. Have some other thoughts, you know, possibly, you know, what if Snoop would have signed with Priority Records. I've got a couple ideas and things that I want to work on. So definitely urge everyone again, www.westcoastaftershock.com. Check it out. Also have our affiliate sites as well, Lumini2G.com and RnbRhythms.info. But again, 1994, Lady of Rage would have dropped. Again, I think she would have been a household name. Death Row Records, regardless, she's had an incredible career. Again, one of the top 15 to 20 lyricists all time, and hands down, even though she hasn't dropped an official album. It's kind of like when people have this argument about Andre 3000, but regardless, Lady of Rage, definitely give her flowers. And you know, it's definitely one of the big what ifs, the Eargasm album, if it would have dropped, the impact it would have had on hip hop. D-Nice signing off. Peace.